Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The foreign aid bill that supports Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is now in the hands of the Senate.
The long-stalled foreign aid legislation finally made its way to a vote on Saturday, the House passing a massive $95 billion foreign aid package. Now that the bills have passed in the House, the Senate will begin consideration of this foreign aid package on Tuesday. Allison Kosick, ABC News, New York.
More Republicans voted against the package than voted for it. Now a third Republican has signed on to a motion to oust Speaker Mike Johnson for supporting the legislation. A Memphis block party turns deadly. About 200 to 300 people gathered when someone pulled a gun. Police found five people shot, two dead at the scene. Later, 11 more gunshot victims brought themselves to local hospitals. No suspects or motive. Firefighters responding to a house explosion in Baltimore overnight. Two alarm fire, one man injured. This is ABC News. Tomorrow is Earth Day, when you're encouraged to be mindful of protecting the planet we all live on. Experts say they're seeing more marine heat waves over vast stretches of ocean, a result, they say, of climate change. Philip Orton, an ocean researcher at Stevens Institute of Technology, New Jersey, says warmer ocean temperatures lead to more severe hurricanes.
Well, a major factor affecting hurricanes is the sea surface temperatures that fuel the energy and the storm's intensity.
In Littleton, Colorado, mourners gathered at the memorial for the Columbine High School shooting. It happened 25 years ago Saturday. At the memorial, Zelda Maneffi left 13 roses, one for each victim.
They were people's family members. They were people's friends. They were human beings who lost their lives. And just to come back and reflect and remember the lives that were lost is very, very important.
12 students and one teacher were killed on that day in 1999. It was the nation's first mass school shooting, and sadly, not the last. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin labor leaders are fighting attempts to roll back child labor laws. Mike Moen reports.
Governor Tony Evers this month vetoed a bill that would have expanded the elimination of required work permits for those under 18. The bill's language applied to 14 and 15-year-olds, several years after the state did away with parental permission for 16 and 17-year-olds. Wisconsin State AFL-CIO President Stephanie Bloomingdale says these are policy fights advocates thought they won decades ago when minors often worked in dangerous conditions. But she says there's a strong push to chip away at protections.
We are seeing a growing movement from different unscrupulous employers that want to put kids back in the workplace and not have the kind of oversight that is needed.
The Economic Policy Institute says rollbacks have been approved in a dozen states the past few years. Meanwhile, violations are trending upward, with the U.S. Labor Department reporting an 83% increase in financial penalties. Backers of the Wisconsin bill say the goal was to reduce red tape for families. But Bloomingdale says the current law helps the whole family make an informed decision.
It's important for kids to get a good work ethic, but at the same time, these kids need to make sure that they are getting enough sleep, that they are able to participate in their school, and really making sure that that balance is there.
The EPI report says amid the push in many states to weaken these laws, several other states have advanced bills to strengthen protections. and there have been bipartisan bills in Congress that, among other things, would crack down on violators. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A frosty start, sunny skies, lower 60s in the afternoon, a northwest breeze. Tonight, clear skies, more frost possible, lows in the mid-30s. On your Monday, increasing clouds and breezy with highs in the mid-60s. Some showers Monday night. It's 30 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Kadiwina, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening
to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute and Make Voting a Tradition here in Minneapolis.
Hey, happy day after your birthday there, Chujonk.
Hey, thanks. Really appreciate that.
Right on, right on. You're 30? 20, 32?
Oh, gosh. No, not quite. We got a few more years until we get there, thankfully, though.
Right on. Just kidding. Happy birthday. We missed you. I want to give a big shout out to Wendy for sitting in for you like the old days. She did great. And it's Super Tuesday today, and we'll have Ruth Buffalo on in a little bit. And also, we got a couple other guests you want to tell our audience about real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have a very, very important message today. We're very excited to play this. We have an update here from Second Gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, to talk about voting today and why it's so important specifically in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. Why don't we go to that right away, and then we'll talk about the rest of the show. So why don't we take a quick listen to our new close friend.
Native Roots Radio Network. Hello. This is Doug Emhoff, Second Gentleman of the United States. I wanted to reach out to let you know how important it is to vote in today's primary in Minnesota. The polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to iwillvote.com to find your polling place. Because you turned out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. Joe and Kamala have lowered prescription drug costs for seniors, including reducing the cost of insulin to just $35. We're investing more than $6.2 billion in Minnesota to rebuild roads and bridges and to remove lead pipes. I was just in Minnesota last week to announce a $20 million investment at the airport. We're creating jobs, including more than 200,000 jobs in Minnesota after losing 130,000 under Donald Trump. We've invested historic levels of funding in tribal communities, including $32 billion for healthcare, housing, and childcare, $3.5 billion for high-speed internet, more than 720 million to adapt to climate change, to mitigate drought, and to shift to clean energy production. We're also working to provide tribes with a greater role in the management of land and water that have cultural and natural resources of significance for their communities. There is so much at stake: democracy, freedom, our economy. It's all on the line. Remember, polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. If you haven't voted yet, go to iwillvote.com to make sure your voice is heard.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate that and them reaching out for that short message. I will be going and doing my duty right after the show. I'm going to take a walk down to my voting place and cast a vote.
There you go. Yeah, I know a lot of people, myself, went out and voted. I know our friend Robert Lilligren of NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute here. I saw that he was up, probably the first one out there voting this morning. So that was very, very cool to see.
Yeah, I'm usually one of those too. And but today I had to run into Wisconsin and do my due diligence with my other job. And so that allows me to get up early, drive early, and then come home and do this great show across Turtle Island. We're so blessed to have this and have people like the Biden-Harris administration reach out to us and send us good words for our listeners. And that just shows how important our listeners are, and especially here in Minnesota, but also in Wisconsin, even though they don't have the Super Tuesday going on in Wisconsin. So that was important to get my new close friend, Doug's words out there, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it's just important, too, that they mentioned and that they're focused on the good things that are going into Indian country. I know they talked about housing and healthcare and childcare, which are some things that, you know, those resources are kind of very slim when it comes to being in Indian country.
Yeah, definitely. And just having a voice, I think this administration is so much better at that. And I know the second day Trump was president, he let Standing Rock happen and signed a bill, or not a bill, but a presidential order to let the oil flow right under the Missouri River and right through Standing Rock Reservation, which, you know, in the history of this show, Haley, we started the show because of what was happening at Standing Rock and the struggles out there and the lack of, you know, the national media talking about what was happening to our community. The 4 times that Wendy and I were out there, it was a big city.
Yeah.
And there was, during Thanksgiving week, Standing Rock, there was over 15,000 people there fighting for clean water.
Right. Yeah. And just Standing Rock seems like, you know, it's 7 years ago since you started this show, 7 years ago since all of the protesting happened out there. And just looking back at the pictures, it's like hard to, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget all of these big events and, you know, we attend so many things and we're, you know, trying to protest against things or for things. And that was a really big turnout. And thank God, really. I mean, unfortunately, you know, Donald Trump kind of reversed that whole situation. Right. But these are the things that we need to remember, like, we matter in numbers and there's strength in numbers when we all come together. And I think we do that really well kind of all around Turtle Island.
Yeah. And, you know, once we're clear to our goals and not fighting with each other, I think the Native Americans can do and pull off anything. And don't forget, too, our white allies that were there. They were from all over the country, and it was a thing of beauty, and I wanted to make sure that I made that because that was basically my wounded knee. Because of my age, I was not able to deal with the wounded knee protest, the 73-day protest in 1973. So I wanted to make sure I was there, and it was unbelievable. It really was. And all the tribes were representative, and all the tribal flags that were up and down the road was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And people from all over the country and our friends from Palestine were there, too. And
Yeah.
We have to remember that and say a prayer for them, because their genocide with what's happening to their native land is very similar to what happened to Native Americans here on Turtle Island.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're Native on Turtle Island, the differences are, you know, the similarities are just too close. And I think when we hear things and we're talking about Palestine, you know, I think it's always on my mind and it's always heavy on my heart every single day. But it's just so similar. And I think it could be a little triggering. And we just all know all too well about those same kind of struggles here in Turtle Island.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we got an awesome show. We got our friend Ruth Buffalo stopping in. So we started out with the vice president's husband, and now we're going to go to Ruth Buffalo here after this quick break, and we're going to talk about her new job and how excited we are here in the Twin Cities to have this this warrior show up and work with us in our community. It's just exciting, and I know there's an open house we're going to be talking to her about, but you know, we love Ruth Buffalo, and now she's a Minnesotan, and she's got to get that Minnesota accent down.
We know too much about that accent. You know, I was just in DC and I had people comment on my accent and I didn't realize how strong it was, but I guess it is.
Oh geez, yes.
Oh geez.
You betcha. We'll be right back, you all. We got a binder. Oh, there's all those Minnesota. Okay, we'll be right back. Next, our friend Ruth Buffalo, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have our friend Ruth Buffalo, our good friend Ruth Buffalo, former North Dakota State Representative and current CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha, Matzigidads. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so excited now that you're Minnesotan. We were just talking in the other segment that you're going to have to change your accent a little bit now. You're going to be saying all your words longer. But we're really excited that you're here in the Twin Cities. And we have a special event we want to talk about real quick.
Yes, the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is hosting a community meet and greet for me. So this is Thursday, I believe at 5:30 here at the MIWRC building.
It is at 5:30. So when we were talking about doing a quick pre-record on Thursday and have a, so we can run over there, Haley and I can run over there and welcome you to the Twin Cities. And you're no stranger to Minnesota. You'd lived here at one time.
I did. I lived here years ago before I had a family, and I worked at Division of Indian Work, or DIW, at the YLDP, the Youth Leadership Development Program. And I was actually looking at going to Metro State and going into social work.
Wow. 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 That's crazy. And just your background a little bit. You played college basketball, right?
I did.
I want to hear about this a little bit. Tell us a little bit about that.
My husband and I both transferred to South Dakota. He played baseball there and I played basketball. And how we both landed in South Dakota was interesting too, because I was here, you know, for a year, a full year here in Minneapolis. I stayed off of Cedar Avenue, not far from where the home of Juicy Lucy's is. but we met in South Dakota, and how I landed in South Dakota too was from playing in a basketball tournament in Temecula, California. Back then, I think it was called the National Indian Athletic Association. And I believe like Ernie Stevens Jr. Used to lead that. I'm not sure if he still leads it. They have annual national tournaments across the country. And that year just happened to be in Temecula, California. We won the tournament. And one of my teammates from Standing Rock, she was headed to South Dakota and told the coaches about me. And then the coaches called and encouraged me to go down there to try out. So I remember driving down there in my mom's minivan with one of my younger sisters and tried out for the team. And then they, you know, offered me a basketball scholarship and finished there with a Bachelor's of Science in Criminal Justice.
Wow. That is amazing. I did not know that story, but I knew you played basketball because during COVID, when we were all doing the COVID Native American check-in on Sundays, the Sunday symposium, yeah, a lot of your friends from all over Turtle Island that you knew from basketball way back when.
Yes. Yep. And yeah, even actually why I left Minneapolis back then was because one of my cousin brothers, we're very close, and we always knew we would see each other once a year at the National Indian Basketball Tournament. And he had unexpectedly passed away that March 3rd, actually. And then we were supposed to see each other in Oregon the following month, because the tournaments were usually held in April. And then after being at DIW for a full year, my uncle, who is living down in Window Rock or Fort Defiance area, had asked me to move down there and help him take care of his grandson, who was 2 years old at the time. And so I, you know, without question, moved down there, took care and helped for a semester down in Fort Defiance. And then I had to come back to Minneapolis and work temp agencies to get my car out of the shop because I was supposed to drive down there. But a lady had hit two cars before mine and then got hung up on the back end of my little Cavalier on side street parking on Bloomington Avenue. I was visiting one of my friends. So ended up flying down there. And then after I finished, you know, helping my uncle and my nephew, came back to Minneapolis and had to work to get my car out of the shop and worked in temp agencies. And after that, as soon as I had enough money to get my car out of the shop, I headed back home and did a semester at Tribal College back home and then played in that tournament and then went to South Dakota.
So. Wow. These are things I knew nothing about. That's really exciting. Wow. And I got to tell you too, I had a Cavalier twice. So those were nice little running cars with a good mileage back in the day.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ruth, let's just bring it back to what are you hearing? A lot of people going to show up to the welcoming of Ruth Buffalo here on Thursday, the 7th of March at 5:30 in the evening, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, 2300 15th Avenue in Minneapolis.
Yes, hearing that there's going to be a good turnout, you know, we hope there's a good turnout. Love to visit and meet the community members. You know, this will not be the only time that I'll be able to engage with the community members, but I believe the team here at MIWRC and the search committee wanted to make sure the community had an opportunity to visit with me. I believe there's also a cedar ceremony happening here at the same time too. So there will definitely be a lot of people in this space this Thursday.
Well, that's exciting. And, you know, to get the job here, and I know this organization is well known in the state and has a lot of clout, and we're excited to have your leadership. What's the first thing you feel like you need to do?
Raise money. Yeah. You know, finding sustainable funding for the long haul, you know, building the programs back up to what they once were, and to continue partnering and working with and for the community is really important.
It very much so is. And I know there's a lot of different services. Can you touch on any of them? I know it's like your second day, so I'm grilling you here, but.
Yeah, no, definitely hit the ground running. Gosh, right now I know that they have downsized quite a bit, but the hope is to rebuild everything back up to what it once was. And of course, to continue strengthening the existing partnerships across the community. And so I know for sure, you know, they have the drop-in center downstairs. They also have birthing, you know, women to help moms with traditional birthing. Also looking at more holistic, just a holistic approach rooted in our cultural values. So a lot of, I believe and feel that there's a lot of underlying within everything, it's rooted in healing, you know, without saying healing, but that's really, I believe, at the heart of a lot of the work here. So I'm really excited to help and to continue building what's been here within the community. But again, that long-term sustainable funding is so very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'll have trips to the Capitol and talk to our legislators. And I know you have a great relationship with, you know, Heather Keeler and Mary Knush. And so that'll be exciting. I'm looking at the Facebook here, and there's going to be a couple hundred people there. So I guess I'll have to wait my turn to ask you questions. There's going to be a lot of people there. That's awesome.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, I was hoping that my family could join me, but we'll see. They're definitely going to try to be here with me for the meet and greet. And some of my close friends and sister friends from back home will also be in the area, because I believe AHEC, you know, some of the events are happening here in the Twin Cities. So looking forward to it, but excited to continue working with and for the community.
Well, we're excited to have you. And again, it's the meet and greet, Ruth Buffalo, Thursday at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Minnesota Indians Resource Center. And that's 2300 15th Avenue South. And we're really excited to have you as a Minnesotan again.
Thank you. Mazagidads. Yeah, it's still a little shocking, I think. You know, it wasn't. You know. So it's, you know, thankful to be back in the community for sure.
Yeah, and a supportive family. That is just awesome. You guys are all moving here, you know. And I like your husband even more now that I heard that he played college baseball. So baseball is my favorite sport. So maybe he and I can go to a Twins game when he moves up here.
Yes, for sure. He's a hat guy, and he's been perfecting his craft with embroidering hats and apparel. And he's looking to, you know, hopefully open a new barber shop here as well. So.
Right on. Thank you so much, Ruth, for stopping in. As always, now that you're Minnesota and you have an open door policy, you can come on anytime.
Mazagidads. Thank you.
All right. Wow, that was Ruth Buffalo, and we're really excited we're just excited, and we're excited that she was on tonight, and the meet and greet's going to be awesome. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The foreign aid bill that supports Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is now in the hands of the Senate.
The long-stalled foreign aid legislation finally made its way to a vote on Saturday, the House passing a massive $95 billion foreign aid package. Now that the bills have passed in the House, the Senate will begin consideration of this foreign aid package on Tuesday. Allison Kosick, ABC News, New York.
More Republicans voted against the package than voted for it. Now, a third Republican has signed on to a motion to oust Speaker Mike Johnson for supporting the legislation. A Memphis block party turns deadly. About 200 to 300 people gathered when someone pulled a gun. Police found five people shot, two dead at the scene. Later, 11 more gunshot victims brought themselves to local hospitals. No suspects or motive. Firefighters responding to a house explosion in Baltimore overnight. Two-alarm fire, one man injured. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win again in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee with 18 hits against the Cardinals yesterday. Home runs for Bryce Terang, Reese Hoskins, Jackson Churio, Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Now Churio tries right field. Walker back again. That's gone. Back to back go the Brewers. Jackson Churio hits number four. On a 1-2 pitch, Churio goes the other way.
They have definitely figured out something.
The Brewers with a 12-5 win over the Cardinals. Reese Hoskins.
You know, I think we wanted to come out and try to punch first. William getting us going, getting a guy on. You know, the hitters to get pitches in the middle of the zone is pressure on the base pass. So let's say pressure on the base pass gets the hitters good pitches, and we didn't miss today.
NBA, the Bucks held practices preparing to host the Pacers. Game one of their playoff series begins tonight.
I thought it was a good week. Great preparation. Thought we got some decent conditioning in. Yeah, I thought it was a good week.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A frosty start, sunny skies, lower 60s in the afternoon, a northwest breeze. Tonight, clear skies, more frost possible, lows in the mid-30s. On your Monday, increasing clouds and breezy with highs in the mid-60s. Some showers Monday night. It's 30 at our studios.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's one of the favorite annual events in the Chippewa Valley. The Chippewa Falls Friends of the Library book sale is happening Friday, April 26th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, April 27th, 9 to noon. There will be books of all types for all ages, along with audio, video materials. Find information at ChippewaFallsLibrary.org. If deadlines are more your style, don't miss the 24-hour project on Saturday, April 27th. It's a chance to see a series of short plays written and directed in less than 24 hours. It's happening all day at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire and includes art and music too. And the Arts West event is set for Monday, April 29th. You'll find an impressive exhibit by artists from across the state at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. It's the 45th year for Arts West. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
This is what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted Pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okeezy, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we got a guest here. We have COVID-19 short audio stories from the community members here in Minnesota, and joining us to discuss this project is Kristen Spargo. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is exciting, and I know you and Haley have been shooting back emails back and forth. Haley, why don't you take over here and tell our audience what they're about to listen to?
Yeah, well, thank you, Kristen, for joining us today. Well, we have put out, Dega, Robert, we've put out a few COVID symposiums over the years. I know before you guys were doing them every Sunday, and we've been very grateful to have Dr. Stately of NAC here in Minneapolis join us to co-host our symposium stories about COVID-19 and what's going on in our American Indian communities here in Minnesota. And we've talked to people that we know about, experts across the field, some of our close friends, and our last one just came out the past two weekends. We had, of course, Dr. Stately. We had Ho-Chunk Citizen and your friend, Danielle DeLong.
Yes.
As well as one of our good friends, Barb Faber, who is really great in early childhood education for our Native kiddos. So if you haven't heard that or watched it, we have our live video on Facebook as well. That would be a really great resource. I know we talk about a lot of things, but Kristen is here to share a lot of some stories that they did. These are shorter stories, so less than 90 minutes, but there's some stories with community members and just kind of talking about their experiences, right, Kristen, with COVID and the different things that they struggled with.
So I partnered with the, I work with the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, or FUN, and NAC is a member of this collaboration, as is Indian Health Board. And so we partnered with a group called Salamo Health and Wellness, that is a community-based research organization that is out of Kuuk, if you're familiar with the Community University Health Center. And we did a kind of comprehensive project where we met with community leaders, learned what some of the issues and around COVID were in the community, talked about vaccine hesitancy, and then after we talked to community leaders, we then interviewed NAC patient families to learn about their personal stories and the impact of COVID. And we created a series of radio stories, and we're going to be listening to some of them today. And so they're based on the lived experiences of people in the local Native American community, pulled together by the team at Salamo with insight from the community leaders, as well as the community, the families in the community who shared their stories.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard them. I've heard a couple of them. They're really great. They're very well produced and just, I think, very raw. And I think a lot of us can relate to kind of these more emotional and personal stories. So I know this first one here is just under 5 minutes and it's titled Valerie and Her Daughter. Is there anything you want to open up this one for?
No, I don't think so. I think that they, I was able to be on the team where when they were recording them, and I just, it was just really wonderful to be in the room while the actors were sharing the, you know, their stories and their insights into the character. So.
Great. Okay. Well, yeah, let's go. Let's dive right into this quick story titled Valerie and Her Daughter.
The content of the story you're about to hear is based on lived experiences of members of our community. It provides current information about the COVID-19 vaccines. See your doctor about your medical care and about getting the updated COVID-19 vaccine.
Valerie Gijic is a 52-year-old valued member of the Anishinaabe community. Her daughter Lisa, concerned about her mom's living in isolation up north and her well-being during the COVID pandemic, convinced her to move to the Twin Cities, close to family members. Valerie is overwhelmed with information and stories about COVID vaccine, and she wonders what is true. She cannot understand the benefits of getting the COVID vaccine.
COVID is a very serious disease.
It is just like the flu.
Everybody will get it.
The vaccine is effective in preventing serious illness.
You should not trust the government.
This is too much information. I'm not sure what to do. Should I get the vaccine?
As Valerie adjusted to life in the city, the topic of COVID-19 and vaccines continued to be in her mind and a point of conversation and concern among her family. Valerie has finally moved to the cities to congregate living near her daughter. She is surrounded by more people and taking public transportation to get to places. Her daughter is concerned about her mom getting COVID.
Mom, have you thought about getting COVID vaccine?
I use a mask and hand sanitizer. Maybe I don't need it. I am worried. Some people say it is safe and others say it has side effects.
I get it, Mom, but you're not young anymore. Doctors recommend the vaccine as a protection. Me and my brothers have already gotten it.
I don't know who to believe anymore. Some people say it's safe, but I don't trust the government.
Valerie was overwhelmed with stories she read about the vaccine, which reminded her about why we as Native Americans have strong historical reasons for not trusting government-led vaccination campaigns. Remember, the blanket.
What? Aunt Gladys got hospitalized? What is it?
She got COVID.
Was she vaccinated?
No.
Is she gonna be okay?
She's now in the ICU on a breathing machine. It doesn't look good for her.
The news of her aunt's hospitalization hits her very hard. The reality of COVID-19 has suddenly become very personal to Valerie. All the fond memories she shared with her auntie on the res flood in her mind. She turns to her daughter to share the news.
Hey, Lisa, did you know that Aunt Gladys is in the hospital with COVID?
No, really? Is she going to be okay? Was she vaccinated?
No, I don't think so. She thought it was just like a flu, but her condition deteriorated suddenly. I hope she pulls through.
I hope so, too. Aunt Lisa's situation is why you need to think about getting the vaccine. I love you so much, Mom.
Lisa went to the Native American clinic and asked her doctor for information about the COVID vaccine. She knew she needed to bring this information to her mom.
Mom, I talked to our family doctor the other day. She said that many relatives at the NAC clinic have your same concerns. She has given the vaccine to many people and has not seen anyone seriously harmed by the vaccine. She's seen the vaccine help them to avoid being in the hospital and help them survive the virus.
Is that the doctor that helped when my grandbaby Joey was very sick?
Yeah, she really cares about us.
Don't people get sick after the vaccine?
She said that some people have some mild side effects for a day or two.
Just mild? Maybe I should get the shot.
So when are you going to get the shot, Mom?
Valerie carefully considers the doctor's experience. She is grateful for her daughter's support and begins to understand why COVID vaccines are important to keep her and her family protected. She calls her daughter.
Lisa, I decided to get the shot.
I was wondering when you were going to change your mind.
Yeah, you know your mama so well.
I knew you would, especially now that Aunt Gladys is so sick. I'm very glad you did it.
The day of Valerie's vaccine appointment at the NAC clinic has finally arrived. With her decision made and her family's support, she was ready to make this important step in protecting herself and those she loves.
The creation of this story is a collaboration between the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, Minnesota Department of Health, and Salamo Partnership for Health and Wellness, with funding from the Minnesota Department of Health COVID-19 Community Engagement and Diverse Media Grant.
Wow, that was awesome.
It was, right.
It's a theater of the mind. That was really well produced.
I loved the sound effects. It was really amazing. But, you know, I think all of us know someone, a relative or an elder, who has been, you know, resilient to get any type of vaccine. And you know, stories like these can hopefully help someone become a little bit more trusting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And that's really part of the driving reason why we wanted to create these stories. We wanted to hear from people who were equally hesitant to get vaccinated and to showcase the importance of leaders like Dr. Stately and medical providers who assure people that the vaccine is safe and effective, and to just, you know, show the love and support of family members and the desire to protect the ones you love from the COVID and having serious complications.
Yeah, I love how we've all heard these stories before, but putting it down in a little audio story, it really makes it interesting, and it was produced really well, and we really enjoyed it. I wonder, do we have time to play another one, or should we wait until the next segment? Looks like we only got a couple minutes left in the segment, Haley.
Yeah, I think we can just wait on the second one here. Let's see what the second title is. We're going to hear from Rose's journey and her journey with COVID. And just to set this one up, so our character in this next short story is a woman who is a caretaker of vulnerable people and has a son who gets sick after the vaccine. So, you know, there are some concerns about the disease and concerns about the vaccine side effects and just how effective they are probably overall. But yeah, I think we could hold that one. But yeah, we have a lot more to go through, and I'm very excited. And hopefully, you know, it's always really cool to hear, you know, of people who are hearing stories and they're like, oh, I know them, or, you know, that's happened to me. And, you know, in this last story we hear from Valerie, who was moved on the reservation to be near her daughter and then had an unvaccinated aunt in the hospital, which is, you know, always hard to deal with living on a reservation and kind of just being, you know, away from the people you love. It's hard, so.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the production? You know, where was this produced?
I would love to. So we partnered with KFAI, Fresh Air Radio, who was another grant recipient on this project. And then we gathered the voice actors. So I'll do a quick shout out to Josephine Lee, Kevin Smokey Day, Mo Mike, and Alan Dare Gross, who played the different characters. And my favorite moment was when they said, "You know your mama so well," and they laughed. It was a really fun moment. And it really shows in that production, I think.
Wow, awesome. Hey, we'll be right back, you know, and listen a little more and get the setup. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being here. This is the radio of the mind, or the theater of the mind is radio. And so let's listen to another one. We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! That was a good howl. Hey, wow, Haley, we got an awesome guest here, and why don't you just... fill everybody in here, and we're going to jump right into a segment and then talk a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, well, we have Kristen Spargo here with us, and we're just playing some of our community stories that they have gathered and put together from our Native communities here in Minnesota. And this next story that we're going to play is just over 6 minutes, but this is going to talk about Rose's journey and talking a little bit about getting COVID after the vaccine. So let's quickly take a listen.
The content of the story you're about to hear is based on lived experiences of members of our community. It provides current information about the COVID-19 vaccines. See your doctor about your medical care and about getting the updated COVID-19 vaccine.
Rose and her family are gathered in the living room listening to a local broadcast station on the latest COVID-19 news. They are concerned about how this pandemic has affected the community. They worry about their loved ones being very sick, with some in the hospital and some not making it out of the hospital. And they talk about how to stay safe.
This virus is serious. So many lives have been affected by the virus.
The news says the vaccine can protect us, but I heard that some people get sick afterwards for a few days and they can't work.
That can happen, but I worry more about getting sick and then passing the virus on to your dad and uncle, who could get very sick. So yeah, I wouldn't want to put that on anybody.
I feel for the people, you know, got very sick from COVID and were in the hospital on ventilators where no one could visit them and they passed away alone.
Me too. So sad.
Rose takes care of her husband who has diabetes and lung disease and her uncle who has heart problems. If they get sick with COVID, they could end up hospitalized like many elders have in the community. Rose is trying to help the family make a decision to get the vaccine as soon as it is available.
I'll get the vaccine, you know, because I take care of your dad and uncle. I don't want a chance of getting them sick. I don't want you to get sick either.
Dad, I'm concerned about you. With all your health problems, you should get the vaccine too.
I don't want to get sick from COVID, but I am scared that the vaccine would make me sick.
Honey, we all need it. I've been researching, and we can get it when we go and visit the family on the res. It'll be a great opportunity to connect with our family and get protected.
Okay, you're right.
You're right.
And this is how Rose, her spouse, and son drive 300 miles to the reservation to meet family and get the COVID vaccine. The morning after the vaccine, the family shares how they are feeling.
I'm feeling good, not sick at all. I am so relieved.
Mom, I'm feeling sick.
Well, just go lay down and rest. It's normal. It means the vaccine is working.
No, Mom. I think I got bit by a spider.
Okay, let me see. Oh my God, your arm is very swollen. When did this happen?
Rose rushes her son to the clinic for the doctor to examine him.
Hi, how are you doing? How can I help you today?
My son's arm is very swollen. I'm afraid. Is this normal?
When did you notice your arm swollen? Does it hurt?
I did not feel well, and then about 3 hours after the shot, my arm became red, swollen, and itchy like this.
This looks like an allergic reaction. It is a known side effect from the vaccine, and you will improve. Just take this allergy medicine. Rest and you will get better. This is not a severe allergic reaction, like with any severe reactions to medicines or peanuts or bee stings. People have more problems than this. They have more swelling in their bodies, including in their throats, and then they have trouble breathing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'm relieved. I had some fever and chills throughout the night, but those went away. Should we be concerned about getting the next COVID vaccine?
Well, since this reaction is not severe, and yours was a common side effect of the vaccine, yes, you can all get the other COVID vaccines.
Thank you. I feel so much better.
Over the next day, Rose monitors her son's reaction to the vaccine.
Let me see your arm.
It feels better.
All right. This does look much better. The doctor was right.
Rose is happy to see her son improve. With her family, she discusses the doctor's recommendation and decides to get subsequent vaccinations to ensure the safety of her loved ones and her community. Several years have passed, and now Rose is volunteering at a community kitchen again. She and coworkers are talking at the community kitchen and discussing the new yearly COVID-19 vaccine starting fall 2023.
So will you be getting the new COVID-19 vaccine?
Sure. Me and my family just got it. My doctor said the virus continues to change, and so the new vaccine helps us to respond to the current virus. Just like yearly flu shots, we'll be getting yearly COVID shots. Wouldn't it be terrible after all this time you got sick with COVID-19 and were hospitalized?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we could also get long COVID. After the infection, some people cannot taste or smell. And then we couldn't enjoy our food in the community kitchen. Or worse, some people get very tired and have heart troubles. I think you should think about getting the vaccine. It's not just for you, but for the safety of our community.
But I'm just worried about getting the shot, the side effects and all.
Hey, listen, I was worried too. But I spoke to my doctor and checked the information before making a decision. Even with our family having some side effects, it was a good decision. I suggest that you do it too. I personally want to live longer and healthier. You know, I want to be there for my grandbabies because COVID sickness has been killing a lot of our people, and the vaccination helps to protect us.
Rose is now spreading the word about how the 2023 fall COVID vaccination can help keep your family and yourself safe.
The creation of this story is a collaboration between the Federally Qualified Urban Health Network, Minnesota Department of Health, In Salamo Partnership for Health and Wellness, with funding from the Minnesota Department of Health, COVID-19 Community Engagement and Diverse Media Grant.
Wow, that was awesome. The production value is just crazy. Where can other people listen to this again? Where are these stored?
Well, we've got them. We're just in the process of distributing them widely in the community. So we're going to be putting up posters with QR codes where in the clinics, so people would be able to use their smartphones with a QR code and listen to them on their phones while they're waiting for appointments. We'll be sharing them in the clinics through the audio systems there. We'll be sharing them on social media as well, and just hope to get them out kind of organically in the community. And then we're working with other radio partners like you to share them in the community. So hopefully we'll just start getting them out, and really appreciate your inviting us on to start sharing these stories.
Yeah, they're great stories. And what I like is that we have such a short memory, and it's good to relive a lot of this stuff. We forget we didn't have vaccines at one time. And so it's very important. And I would suggest, too, to upload these all on PRX, too, so people all over Turtle Island can use these.
Great. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that's a free thing. And I think the only bugaboo that I have is always trying. I didn't even know there was such a file as an MP2, but you have to upload it as an MP2 to there. But it's free. And then if people get out there and you are looking for stuff like this to play, but also that would be great. Our listeners out there too, and then the other stations, because we're on 20 other stations across the country that could download these stories and play them during their show. I would love your
expertise. This is a new project for me. I've been in communications for 20 plus years, and the insight and innovation of the Salamo team, they did.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwaba. On the next show, we celebrate a famous Wisconsin tradition. You guessed it, polka music. And Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson joins the show. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 14.